Now then, pick a card, any card.
Right, okay.
Good, now show it to the audience.
Okay.
Lovely. Now slip it back in the pack, anywhere you like.
Anywhere I like, right, okay. Right, there you go.
Right, I'll just shuffle them. Okay. Now then, is this your card?
Yes it is.
Did you like that?
Well, not a lot.
Did you like that?
Ow! Not a lot, I said.
Did you like that?
Paul, you're hurting me.
Did you like it?
Ah!
Did you like that?
Not a lot! Ah! Not a lot! Not a lot!
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They'll watch a rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to... What was that noise?
Hey?
Are you going to be snorting throughout
the
whole thing?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a cold, I'm afraid. Or as our hillbilly Lincolnshire friends would say, a code. I've got a bit of a code.
Right, I'll start again. Hello, listeners, and welcome... Hello, listeners, and welcome to podcast number 22. Two swans, is that?
Two swans? No, it's two fat ducks.
Two fat ducks.
Two little ducks. Quack, quack. It's 88 is fat, isn't it? Two fat ladies, 88. Two little ducks. Quack, quack. 22. House!
Today we're going to be tackling the topic of Paul and Debbie Daniels.
Paul and Debbie Daniels. Oh, well, is she Debbie Daniels, or does she actually change her name to Debbie Daniels when she married Paul?
I couldn't tell you. Maybe on stage she's McGee.
Right, the lovely Debbie McGee, isn't it? I mean, it's not just Debbie McGee, it is the lovely Debbie McGee.
Well, she definitely is lovely, and I think he does refer to her as that.
Even when they're in a bedroom setting, as it were?
Well, I wouldn't know. You'd have to ask Louis Theroux.
Would you kindly remove my underpants, the lovely Debbie McGee?
He doesn't talk like that, though, does he? Doing impression.
He doesn't. He's from Middlesbrough, isn't he? So, really, you should talk like that. Hello, my name's Paul Daniels. But he doesn't, does he? He sort of talks in a kind of, hello, my name's Paul Daniels. Like that.
Yeah, he's kind of got a bit of a transatlantic thing going on as well.
Has he?
Have you not noticed that? He's got a little bit of Americanism in there.
What sort of, hey there, my name's Paul Daniels, you motherfuckers.
No, it's not that extreme. It's more, he will say kinder instead of kind of.
Oh, right, yeah. I'm not keen on people who do that.
I don't understand why they have to do it. It's kinda annoying.
It is kinda annoying, isn't it? It's kinda like they can't be asked to speak English properly.
Well, it's Paul McCartney does it all the time, and it's almost as if he's trying to accommodate the English audience when, in fact, his heart is in America.
That said, he was in the Beatles. Beatles. So, I mean, the problem with having a cold is that you can't say your T's properly.
Well, I haven't actually asked you how you are and if everything's all right with you. So, are you doing all right?
I'm all right, yeah, cheers. I mean, obviously, I've got this cold, which isn't very nice. Got a bit of a sore throat, but I am armed. I've got my tunes here. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Helps you breathe more easily.
That's right, and I've got my Vicks Chloraseptic. Got that? Can you hear that? No, well, that doesn't really make any noise. But right. I've got that for my throat.
Mm.
And I've had some cough medicine and some paracetamols, and I've got my bandages on.
Buttercup syrup?
No, not buttercup syrup. That's a bit dear. I can't remember what it is, but it's not that stuff.
Right, so you're loading up on drugs to get around.
Yep, I've got all my cold medicine, I've got my bandages, I've had my paracetamol. The cold's down to the bone, but I'm fighting it. What about yourself? Are you all right?
I'm all right. I put my back out just now, chasing a wasp.
A wasp? A jasper?
Yep. It was, yeah, it wasn't a very, what's the word?
Epic?
It wasn't a very epic adventure. Basically, I got Orangina all down my trousers in the window because I used a glass to contain it that contained Orangina. And the wasp escaped and is now lurking somewhere else in the house, and I put my back out.
Right, you see, what'll be happening there is the wasp will have gone into your bedroom and is now plotting a terrible revenge.
Yeah, it'll probably get me on the bottom when I'm not least expecting it.
Either that or on the cock.
Well, I do keep that covered at all times, though.
Do you? What, even when you're in bed?
Yeah, all the time.
Why?
Well, you can't be too careful, can you?
Well, you can't these days, no, admittedly. Just in case a wasp attacks you in your bedroom because you've thrown Orangina at it previously during the day. What idiot attacks a wasp with Orangina? Should we get on anyway?
Yeah, let's get on with it.
Now then, I was going to write a speech, you know, what with this being, well, I'd say a special occasion, but because I've not been very well, do you see? Yeah. Instead of that, I've written an introductory song. It's difficult, it's different from the main song that we're recording later on, but it's an introductory song. So, would you like to hear that now?
Hang on, you haven't even... I didn't know if this... I didn't know it existed at all.
It's not racist.
Well, it better not be.
It's not. It's not racist. It's not sexist. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. It's just an introductory song.
Go on, then.
Right, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ho! He wears a wig, he's not very big. His bulbous head makes him look like a pig. He's heard magic's call, he's incredibly small. He's the greatest magician of them all. Now he's rubbing his balls on the wall of my hall. His last name is Daniels and his first name is Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Daniels!
Watching TV in our pants, get out the mini chatters. It's watch with mothers, it's watch with mothers.
Let's begin our journey into Paul Daniels' nether regions.
Paul Daniels' nether regions?
No, I didn't mean that to come out the way it sounded.
His underpants?
Let's begin our voyage into the world of Paul Daniels.
Let's dabble within the gussets of Paul Daniels and the lovely Debbie McGee, who may well be hiding within the gusset of Paul Daniels.
It's a kind of magic.
It's a kind of magic.
Yeah.
One dream, one goal, one prize, one soul. Brilliant song, that. That's the first of many songs we've thought of, isn't it, that contains the word magic?
Yeah, there'll be a few more littered throughout the podcast, so do look out for those.
Okay, in fact, we could have a quiz. How many times could you spot us singing, actually, that's shit, isn't it, because you just listened back to say three.
Yeah.
Not that there is three, there could be 18, for all you know.
And we've got no prize for them either, so... Yeah,
have
let's
we?
Not do that.
Right, okay, let's not do a quiz. So, we're on to the first part of the podcast, listeners, which is the early career of Paul Daniels. Paul Daniels!
Was that his name originally, though?
No, originally he was born Newton Edward Daniels.
Yeah, which is a much better name than Paul Daniels.
It's an incredibly extravagant name, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's very old-fashioned. It's touched by the glory of time.
Well, it is, yeah. It's one of those names. Paul comes from a working-class background, and in the older days, a lot of working-class people in the North thought, I think, maybe if I give my child a grand-sounding name, he'll grow up into a coal magnet or something like that.
A coal magnet?
Yeah, you're not a coal magnet, not a magnet for coal. Magnate. Magnate?
I think your cold is making you talk funny.
No, it's not. No, magnet. Cold, you know, like you've got steel barons. No, magnets. Steel magnets. Not magnets. Magnets.
Has that got anything to do with Magnet Magnuson?
Magnet Magnuson?
So, his real name, we've covered that.
Excuse me?
And he was a greengrocer.
Well, his father was a greengrocer. And his father also had an extravagant name, which was Handel Newton Daniels.
Spelt?
H-A-N-D-E-L.
Right, Handel as in the composer who... Where was Handel from?
Handel was from Germany. He came over to... He found fame in Britain at the court of George III, who was the loony king.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah, he begat the Prince Regent from Blackadder, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, who went on to become George IV. Yeah, so Handel found fame over here. I think his most famous tune is "Whoa, ho, ho, it's magic." That one.
Very good. Well done.
Yeah. Was that all right?
Yeah, just carry on as though nothing's happened.
Okay, fair enough. Right, yeah, so that was his most famous tune. And obviously, many years later, at least 50, his father was named after the great Georgian composer.
Yeah, we got a bit sidetracked there by proper history, didn't we?
We did, yeah. I mean, I'm happy to be sidetracked by proper history, but you're not, are you?
Not really. We haven't got much time. So we're actually 4 minutes into this now. So, yeah, we've covered his real name. So he changed his name. He doesn't sound like he's from Middlesbrough, which is where he's from.
Well, no, you think he's from Lancashire, don't you?
Well, he sounds like he's from Lancashire.
He's not actually from Lancashire. He is indeed from Middlesbrough. He's born in Middlesbrough in 1938, it says here. So, by rights, he should sound like that, man.
But he doesn't sound like that, does he? He sounds like this. That's magic!
Yeah, but realistically, he should sound like that, man.
But he doesn't sound like that, so he's a big faker.
Now that's magic! Hee hee! That's how it's meant to sound, because that's how all people from Middlesbrough sound.
True, but I wonder what the thought process was. Did it all happen in one day? He thought, right, I'm discarding my history as a greengrocer, I'm discarding my real name, and I'm betraying my Lancashire, my Middlesbrough roots, and I'm going to press forward with a new identity.
Well, I think what happened was, I know for a fact he'd been given a book about magic as a child, and from that moment on he decided magic was his life. But unfortunately he grew up into a greengrocer, and then he went and had a mobile greengrocing shop. Greengrocing?
Greengrocery?
Greengrocering?
Something like that.
Right, he had a mobile greengrocering van, and he must have been there in his van one day thinking, no, I can't do this. I can't do this for a living, man. So he went back to his father's shop, Father Handel. He says, look, Father, I've had me fill of being a greengrocer, and I don't like riding around in a van on me own, so I've decided that I need to jack in the whole greengrocering business. And the problem I've got is that I don't think anybody in the magic circle will take me seriously if I've got a name like Newton Edward Daniels, because that makes me sound like a magnet, not a metal magnet, but a proper magnet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change my name from Newton Edward Daniels, born 1938 in Middlesbrough, and I'm going to change my name to Paul Daniels, which is much more like the name of a magician, such as David Copperfields or that David Blaine.
And what would his dad have said to that? He clearly wouldn't have been happy.
His dad, his dad would have said, probably, you're not changing your name to Paul Daniels from Newton Edward Daniels. My bloody middle name is Newton. My name's Handel Newton Daniels. My father's name was Pat Handel Newton McDaniels. And you're not changing your bloody name to Paul. We've always had double-barreled names in our family. You will stay for the rest of your life Newton Edward Daniels. And probably Paul went, no, I'm not gonna do it, Father. I'm changing my name to Paul, and I'm going down to London, and I'm going to be a famous magician, and I'm not letting you stop me, because once I'm down there, I'm going to be even bigger than Paul Zennon. The magic man.
Okay, so, but he didn't go to London, did he? He went to Bradford and worked the working men's clubs.
He did indeed, and Bradford is where he came up with his famous catchphrase, which is, of course...
Not very much.
No, it's you'll like this, not a lot, but you'll like it.
It's never really been a great catchphrase, has
it? It's not up there with your Bruce's, is it? I mean, admittedly, your Bruce's, nice to see you, nice, all that.
No,
now, that's a catchphrase, whereas you'll quite like this, probably not much, but you'll definitely like it a little bit. Yeah, that needs a bit of work, doesn't it?
Yeah, you should have maybe made it, you like this you will.
Will you like this? You probably won't like this. Actually, no, that's worse, isn't it? Because that's essentially saying to everybody, this is a bit shit. They maybe should have been, that should be his catchphrase. This is a bit shit.
Well, maybe he thought that self-deprecation was the way forward. It was the way to be accepted in the trendy London magic circle scene.
Yeah, but like you've already said, he wasn't actually in the trendy London magical scene, was he? He wasn't down there with Ali Bongo.
True.
He's up north. Up north, where it's hard.
He was up north countering heckles with his new catchphrase, which apparently did wonders.
Somebody apparently said to him in Bradford, probably, hey, you're not bloody good, you Daniels. You know, while he was there doing his magic. Mm. And Paul Daniels turned round, quick as a flash, went, you'll like this, not a lot, but you'll like it. Which really doesn't work, actually, thinking about it. Because the bloke just said, I don't like what you're bloody doing, Daniels. To which he's replied, well, you might like this a bit.
Yes, I can't imagine that really set his stall out particularly well. But clearly this took the attention of Debbie McGee.
Who he met around this time. He'd won Opportunity Knox in 1970-something or other. He hadn't won, he'd come second. And then he was doing a very successful summer season in Great Yarmouth in 1979. And that's where he met the lovely Debbie McGee.
And I imagine she was wooed by his box of tricks.
I should imagine she was indeed wooed by his box of tricks.
I also imagine that she probably might still be under the impression that he genuinely is a warlock.
He is I'd say after all this time, she's probably worked out that his magic is an illusion, and it's more his box of tricks that she's interested in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that she'll have seen his box of tricks and she won't realise that it's all a machination and conjury.
Yeah, but I'm talking about his box of tricks.
Yeah, what I'm saying is she's not aware that his box of tricks is all illusion.
Debbie, could you accompany me to the bedroom and dig your hand in my box of tricks? I'm talking about Paul Daniels' cock and balls.
African dictator Idi Amin. I'm just here to say, this is the What's With Mothers new podcast. They're great. Now I'm off to eat somebody's head. Goodbye.
So that's the early days completely covered.
Yeah, there's nothing more to say about that apart from one fact which we missed out, which is how Paul Daniels came to lose his hair.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Well, for most people, it's genetics or it's having a fright. Mind you usually go, your hair goes white, doesn't it, when that happens? Like Scooby-Doo.
It could also be like Duncan Goodhue, you whack your head on a tree branch.
Oh, and you get alopecia.
I don't know if it's alopecia. I think it was shock, wasn't it?
No, Duncan Goodhue ended up with alopecia.
Just from whacking his head on a branch?
Yeah, a bit like, what's her name, Gail Porter.
Okay, did she whack her head on a branch as
well? Yeah, all people with alopecia hit their head on branches.
Right, is it something in the sap?
I don't know, you'd have to ask the doctor.
Well, I'll ask Gail Porter next time I take her out for a meal.
Oh, fair dues, didn't know you knew Gail Porter.
Well, I'm hoping to in the future. What are we talking about? Let's,
Paul Daniels, he says the reason he lost his hair was through magic.
Magic made him lose his hair. Stress?
No, magic.
So a property within the magic made him lose his hair?
Yeah, some sort of, like, I think radioactive field created by magic made him lose his hair.
But as we've already said, this is all conjury and trickstery, so...
Well, but is it? Because if you look at your Derren Browns, yeah?
Yeah.
Your Ali Bongos under that turban... Your great Suprendos, they're all bald.
I'm sure David Copperfield isn't bald.
Yeah, but that's a wig.
Mm.
Look at it, that's a wig. Nobody's got hair like that. Oh, Patrick Swayze did have.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of magicians with hair and I'm struggling. Paul Zenon.
No.
He is, he's got hair.
No.
I've met Zenon.
No.
That is not a hairpiece.
No.
So his hair fell out because of magic.
Because of magic, but that's it. That's everything about his early career. We've covered the whole thing.
So it fell out very early on, his hair, did it?
Yeah, he went thinner, which is why he wears a toupee. Well, wore a toupee throughout most of his successful career. He was wearing a wig. Not that you could tell.
No.
No, because it was very convincing, like Wogan's or Forsyth's.
Yeah, there was no discussion of it in the tabloid press, was there, at all?
No, not at all. I mean, I think we may be the first people in history to bring up the fact Paul Daniel was wearing a wig.
Which might be considered unkind, so we should probably move on to his first TV outing.
Right, well, it wasn't his first TV outing, as has been discussed before, that was Opportunity Knocks.
Oops.
And after that, he went on to be a guest on the Wheel Tappers and Shunters Social Club, which fans of racism will remember from the 1970s.
Well, I was only a little nipper back then, but the one I remember is Paul Daniels' Magic Show.
The Paul Daniels' Magic Show, which I think ran from, 1979 up until about 1994?
Well, I can remember it always being around during my childhood, and really, I wasn't a big fan, I have to say.
Why not? Don't you like magic? Have you got a heart of stone?
It's nothing to do with Daniels. I think it simply is that I'm not keen on fake sorcerers.
Why? What's wrong with them?
Well, they're just tricking you, aren't they?
Yeah, I know they're tricking you, but they do say, this is a trick.
It's a big con.
What do you mean it's a big con? It's not a con. A con is when you knock on an old woman's door and you say, hello, love, I'm from the gas board. Can I come in? And then you nick a purse. Yeah, it can't be a con if the bloke comes to the door and says, hello, love, I'm going to pretend to be from the gas board, but in fact, I'm nicking your purse. That's what a magician does. He tells you it's a trick.
But he still nicks the purse, so that's
still
theft.
Except your Copperfields.
It's still theft, just dressed up with a bit of glitz and glamour.
It's not theft. When did Paul Daniels steal anything off anybody?
You just said he went around someone's house and stole their purse.
No, that's a con man, not Paul Daniels. Paul Daniels isn't a con man. Paul Daniels doesn't go around people's houses, knocking on the door, pretending to be the gas man.
Well, you used a bad example to illustrate your point then, didn't you?
No, I was using the example of real con men. You were saying that this is fundamentally conning. It's not because of what I've just said there. What did I just say there?
You said that Paul Daniels went round an old woman's house, told her I'm about to do something or other, then nicks her purse.
Did he?
Well, apparently so, but...
The rat bastard!
Yeah, where were we?
We're on the Paul Daniels Magic Show. Me, personally, I quite liked it. I thought it was all right. I didn't so much like it when he got other magicians on there, because there were usually one-trick ponies from America. There was a fella that was on there once who his trick was to make it look like he had disappearing fingers.
And there was one trickster on there who made it look like he was eating loads and loads of cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, he was weird, actually. Hasn't he retired because he had to have a lung removed?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, if your act leads you to have one of your major organs removed, maybe you shouldn't do that act.
Yeah, you've got to think about giving it up, haven't you?
It's like them fellas that hang weights off the end of their willies.
Mm.
Yeah, you see, I wouldn't do that, just in case my willy fell off.
Yeah, well, just in case it sort of became an elasticated, useless attachment.
I mean, how do you end up doing a job like that in the first place?
I think you've got to get a little thrill out of it in the first place.
Yeah, but how do you work out you're going to do? I mean, do you wake up one morning, have a look at your old fella and think, I'll tell you what that needs. It needs a weight hanging off it.
Well, I imagine it happened through circumstance. So, for example, imagine you've got your old chap trapped in your jean zip.
Right.
Then the only way really to deal with that is to pull your trousers off while leaving it within the zip. So then what you've got is the jeans off your body but still attached to your winky.
Yep.
And at some point you're going to have to let go of the jeans so you can, I don't know, wash your hands or eat your dinner. And
so, it's going to... So, carry on.
So it's going to end up suspended from your bell end.
So you think that's the way that all weight penis danglers, or whatever the fuck they're called, that's the origin of that, is it? they get their dick stuck in a zip, and then they end up having a pair of trousers hanging off their penises. They enjoy the experience so much, they decide to do it professionally.
I'd say that's more credible than your argument that Paul Daniels robs old ladies of their purses.
I didn't say Paul Daniels robbed old ladies of their purses, but I find it difficult to believe that somebody who traps their penis in a zip ends up being a circus performer because of it.
Hmm. What are we talking about again?
Paul Daniels!
I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my anus. I'd rather be
So I suppose now, already, it's time for the MIDI amble.
So, should we try and recreate one of Paul Daniels' infamous magic tricks?
Well, I thought it was time for the MIDI amble, because we've done all the early career in his first toe dip into showbiz.
Yeah, but we haven't done any magic, have we?
Well, yeah, but you can't really do magic over a spoken word broadcast, can you?
Ah, but that's where you're wrong, my friend, because I want to, for the first time ever in the history of the internet, want to do a live, on-air, Paul Daniels magic trick. It's a card trick.
Right, cards are visual by nature, and this isn't live.
Right, so I'm Paul Daniels, yeah?
No, you're not.
And you're the stooge, the guy in the audience. Not the stooge, because that means that you're in on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm clearly just the victim.
Right, you're the victim, the innocent bystander. So you've come, say it's, I don't know, 1983. You've come to the BBC to watch a recording of the Paul Daniels magic show.
Hang on. Are we actually doing this then? So we're role-playing a magic trick that no one can see any of the workings of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so you've come to the BBC, you're in the audience, I've come out, hello! Like that, yeah?
Yeah.
And I've done loads of magic already. We've had Barbara Dixon on. It's getting towards the end of the show. Don't forget it's 1983. That's very important.
Right, so I'm 5 years old.
No, you're a grown-up version of you, only back in time, in 1983.
Jesus Christ, what would I be wearing?
Hey?
What am I wearing?
You'd probably be dressed a bit like Superman in Superman 2.
What, in a Superman costume?
No, not in a Superman costume. When he's Superman. Not Superman, the other one.
Clark.
Yeah, him.
So I'm dressed as... So I'm dressed as Clark Kent. Have I got a moustache?
No, you haven't got a moustache. When did Superman have a moustache?
Well, I don't know, but people in the 80s had moustaches.
No, people in the 70s had moustaches. Moustaches were incredibly unfashionable in the 80s.
So what, have I got a new romantic haircut?
No, you've got... You look exactly like Superman. You know, big, thick glasses, big hair, all that, beige slacks, like Superman in Superman 2.
Okay, well, just get on with the trick.
You're not wearing a Superman suit. Don't fucking think you are.
Okay.
This is my show. I'm Paul Daniels. I'm not even bloody Superman sat in the sodding audience. Anyway, where was I?
Doing your trick.
Right, okay, so you're in the audience, yeah, and it's now the finale of the show. And what I'm going to do for you, I'm just going to give you some information first. This is Paul Daniels' infamous Indian card trick. Have you heard of that?
No, it sounds racist.
It's not racist. So basically, I mean, to give you a bit of background, it's been passed down from the ancient fakirs of old India.
A fakir? What's a fakir?
It's a wise man. Do you know those fellas on the beds of nails?
Oh, yeah, a fakir.
With the beards.
Right, okay, fakir.
Yeah, so it's been passed. The Indian card trick has been passed down from the ancient fakirs of old India. Yeah, This trick. Hang on, this is in Paul's voice. This trick was taught to me by the Raja of old Wazibar, the most venerable of all the Indian provinces in old India.
Right.
Right. Well, can you respond, please, to that?
Well. What would he actually say, the audience member? What do you expect him to say beyond coo?
This trick was taught to me by the Raja of old Wazibar, the most venerable of all Indian provinces. What do you say to that?
Coo.
Right, that's fair enough. Now then, as you can see... Can you see? can't see.
Yeah, I can see.
Right, I am placing the three cards in the temple of the Taj Mahal. Can you see them? Can you fucking see them?
No, I can't. Yes, I can see them.
Right, so there they are. The three magic cards are now in the temple of the Taj Mahal. Now, if you'd like to shuffle the pack, please. What do you say to that?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Right, that's enough. Thank you. Now then, if you'd like to pick a card, any card.
Yep, I've picked one.
Okay, don't show me, but show the audience. Are you showing the card to the audience?
Yes, I'm showing the card, yeah.
Right, put it back in the pack. Is it back in the pack?
Yes, you can see it's back in the pack.
Right, you like this? Not a lot, but you will like it. Is that your card?
Which, where?
This card here.
That's the one that I put back in the pack.
This one here, the Jack of Diamonds.
Yeah, that's... I don't know, I can't remember what my card was.
Was it the Jack of Diamonds?
Could well have been.
Right, well, if you look here at the three cards that are arranged on the ancient temple of the Taj Mahal... This isn't working, is it?
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes? Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will watch with mothers.
Welcome to the Watch with Mothers Media Bowl.
Is that all right?
That sounded very good. I could use that as a jingle in future. So, yeah, this is the Media Bowl.
Hello.
How do you feel it's going?
I think it's going quite badly. So, yeah, we're on target.
Yeah, I'm already certain I'm going to be doing lots and lots of editing on this one.
That's good. That's good news.
Well, not really.
Why?
Well, I've got a proper job to be doing.
No, you haven't. Don't be ridiculous. Not down the mines, are you?
Well, that's true. Well, yeah, but still, it's a lot of work.
Well, whatever. I don't care about that. So, now then, the Mediamble. Didn't you have some admin you wanted to clear up?
Did I?
Yeah, you were saying earlier on the site, watchwithmothers.net. Is that all right?
Yeah, that was good. Well done.
Right. You were saying on the site that you had some admin to clear up. What's this admin?
No, I just wanted to know if anyone had any issues they wanted raised on the podcast. And the general response was just mockery and mickey-taking.
Right, mockery and mickey-taking. So who were we mocking? Who were we taking the mickey out of? Should we try and do some politics?
No, they were mocking and mickey-taking me. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so they didn't want mocking and mickey... Mickey-mocking... They didn't want
They were mickey taking from me, is what I'm saying.
Right, they were taking the mockey out of you.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it's not nice, especially when you've gone to the effort of writing a sensitive article about a political TV show. All they do is mock you.
You should have said about how great the parachute regiment is. They jump out of planes and kill people.
Yeah, I probably should have.
Yeah, and they're like the SAS, but you know who they are, because the SAS are dead secret, whereas the parachute regiment are like an SAS, but not secret.
Right, what do the Marines do?
The Marines are like the SBS, but they're not secret.
Well, I've met a few Marines in my time.
Right.
They're all dead behind the eyes.
Dead behind the eyes? Well, that's because they've got the cold hearts of killers. It's the same with the paras, same with the SAS, the SBS... Not so much with the Americans, your Delta Force. That's led by Chuck Norris. But no, you're British. What they do is they take a man, they break him down, they build him back up again, and he's a cold, stone-cold killer. So like your Andy McNabs.
So if they break him down, then build him back up again, what happens if he breaks down again?
Well, then they build him back up again.
This could go on and on, couldn't it?
Eventually you end up with a super soldier like Jean-Claude Van Damme or Dolph Lundgrensons.
But wasn't Jean-Claude Van Damme, he was, and Dolph Lundgren, they were universal soldiers, they were cyborgs.
Yeah, but there were super soldiers. There were super soldiers. They'd been brought down and built back up again, and then brought down, then built back up again, then brought back, then built back up again so many times that they weren't human anymore. Plus, yeah, they'd been admittedly enhanced by science, scientific methods.
And they had flying CDs in their guns.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Did you ever consider joining the armed forces?
I did indeed, yes. When I was 16, I inquired of the Royal Air Force to, you'll like this, become an air traffic controller.
That's not a massive ambition, is it?
Eh?
It's not a huge ambition.
Well, it was for me at the time, but do you know the one thing you need for air traffic control more than anything else?
Well, I suppose you need to be able to keep your temper under control.
No, not really. Actually having a wound up temper would be quite good for the whole world of air traffic controllery. No, what you actually need is a sound mathematical mind.
Ah.
Yeah, so that was that idea out. Then I thought about joining the army, but I didn't want to get killed.
No.
So that was that out. So in the end, I became a cartoonist.
Well, yeah, I think you're more suited to it because, let's face it, you wouldn't be very good as a soldier, would you?
Yeah, I would. I'd be great. I'd be snapping necks. Wherever there was trouble in the world, there'd be me snapping necks, like Rambo.
I don't think they actually snap that many necks. What they mean?
No, that's what you do in the army. You join the army, you snap necks.
That's incorrect. They just tell you to run through mud and jump on rope swings.
No, they don't. You go to, I'm not going to name any countries because that's insensitive, but let's make up a country, wherever, yeah? Was that a good name?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, you're over there, you're in your thing with your unit, the general comes in and says, right men, get out there, snap some necks. That's what it's like being in the British Army. You wake up, you eat some beans, you snap some necks, you go back, you eat some more beans, you snap some more fucking necks in the afternoon, you go home, eat your third thing of beans, have a cup of tea, snap some necks, go to sleep. Welcome to the army. Now then, that's the mini amble done. So we're back now with the career of Paul Daniels, and we move into another phase of his career, which is his game shows, plus that shit he did for kids, Whizbit. You remember that?
I do. It seems that back in those days, you'd get comedians and magicians would always turn to game shows, wouldn't they?
They would indeed. Sorry, I was just having a bit of my coffee there. I think, essentially, if you did a Saturday night show, or indeed any night of the week show, eventually the BBC would say, yep, he's game show fodder, and they'd give you a game show. And obviously, most of the game shows that all these people were given were shit. But in Daniel's case, he was given a couple of nuggets of gold.
Well, I remember every second counts.
Every second counts.
Exactly, but I don't remember the other one.
Well, the other one was Odd One Out, which is he did that before Every Second Counts. Do you remember that?
I don't remember Odd One Out, and I have no idea how it worked. How did it work?
Well, I'd say the easiest way to illustrate how Odd One Out went is to have a go at it. Do you fancy that?
The magic trick didn't work out so well, did it?
It didn't work out so well, but this one might, I mean, if you bear with me. I'll be Paul Daniels again. I'm sorry about this. But you're going to have to be the contestant. Would you like to be anybody? Can you do any accents?
Shall I just be Clark Kent me again?
Well, you could be some fella from Norfolk.
How do they talk?
They'll talk like that, don't they? Over in Norfolk. No, that's West Country, isn't it?
Well, I'll talk like a West Country man.
Wait, so you're going to talk like that, yeah?
I'm going to talk like that,
right,
yeah.
Okay, right, so I'm going to be Paul Daniels. So let's say the other contestants have already been on. It's your go now, yeah.
Right.
So I'll start here. You'll just have to bet. You don't know the rules of Odd One Out, do you?
No, but presumably Paul would tell me, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Right. We'll wing it. Right. Okay then. So I'll do an introduction. Here we go. Odd One Out. Excuse me. That's not how it started. Obviously, it wasn't just Paul Daniels belching quite a bit. But hello, welcome back to Odd One Out. I'm Paul Daniels, obviously. We've already had all the other contestants, so now it's time for Ken from the West Country. Say hello, Ken.
Oh, hello there.
Right, now, you know how the game's played, don't you?
No, I believe you were going to tell me the rules, weren't you?
Okay, right. I will tell you, or show you, four items, and you have to guess, out of the four items, which one of them is the odd one out. If you guess correctly which is the odd one out, you get 2 points for a correct answer. However, if you then go on to discover the reason why it's the odd one out, you get an extra 3 points, added up to 5 points, which you will then carry on into the bonus game, the final game, and the end game. Is that clear?
Oh, yes, that's perfectly clear to me,
right.
Mr. Evans.
Oh, okay, then, here we go with your four items. Are you ready?
Oh, yes, I'm totally ready,
sir. Okay, which is the odd one out between a spade, a coffin, a hole in the ground, and Leslie Grantham?
Is it Leslie Grantham?
No, I'm afraid it's not, no. Would you like another go?
Yes, please, Mr. Daniels, yes, please.
Right, what's the odd one out between a spade, a coffin, a hole in the ground, or Leslie Grantham?
Is it a spade?
No, it's not, no, it's not, no. I'm afraid I'm going to have to tell you which one it is. The odd one out of a spade, a coffin, a hole in the ground, and Leslie Grantham is a coffin.
Why would that be, Mr. Daniels?
Well, you see, the common bond between a spade, a hole in the ground, and Leslie Grantham is they're all featured in EastEnders. Do you remember that bit where Max Brannan gets buried in the ground by his wife Tanya and her evil lover? And he was put in a hole in the ground, which was dug by a spade, and Leslie Grantham was also in EastEnders. So, obviously, the odd one out from that would be coffin, which has nothing to do with either a spade or a hole in the ground.
But there was a coffin in that scene.
Would you like to play the bonus game?
Yeah, go on then.
You're supposed to be from the West Country, Ken.
I keep trying it, but it turns into Irish.
Right, well, from Ireland, it's Ken, and you're now playing the bonus game. Are you ready, Ken from Ireland?
Oh, fantastic. Let's play the bonus game.
Right. Now, Ken, I'm going to tell you three things, and you have to guess the common bond between them. Are you ready, Ken, from Ireland?
Yes, I absolutely am.
Okay. What is the common bond between Graham Garden, Bill Oddie, and Tim Brooke Taylor?
The goodies.
Now then, you have, in this round, you have the chance of clues. So if you pick the first clue, you go down to a lesser prize. Yeah? Or if you get it in the first guess, you get the main prize. However, if you need a clue, you get a lesser prize. If you need another clue, you get an even lesser prize. And if you go for the final clue, you don't get much of a prize at all.
I'll go for the not much of a prize at all.
Okay, now then, what is the common bond between Graham Garden, Bill Oddie and Tim Brooke Taylor?
They was all in the goodies.
No, would you like a clue?
Yes, please.
They were all in the goodies. Has that made it any clearer? Can you see a common bond with the fact that they were all in the goodies? Or would you like another clue? Hello, Ken.
Were they all in the goodies?
No, that was your first clue. Your second clue is they're all in Banana Man too. Has that made it any clearer, Ken? Or will you need your third and final clue?
Could I have my third and final clue, please?
Okay. One of them was in Me and My Girl. Can you spot the connection now, Ken?
Well, yeah, tracking back, they were all in the goodies.
No, I'm afraid the right answer was Tim Brooke Taylor was in Me and My Girl, and the other two probably watched Me and My Girl. So now we move on to the final game with you having no points, Ken.
Okay.
Do you know the final? Do you know how the final game works?
Just tell me.
Right, I'm going to show you a picture. It's this picture here, Ken. It's Mr. T and the A-Team. Do you remember them?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Now then, I'm now going to tell you a clue, and you have to figure out the connection between Mr. T and the A-Team and this clue. Here's your clue. It's a voice clue. Ain't no... I'll start again, Ken. Ain't no man alive gonna get me on a plane, sucker. What's the connection between Mr. T and the A-Team and what I've just said there?
Well, Mr. T was in the A-Team.
No, I'm afraid it's poisoned milk. Now then, what do you like to play the end game? It's the final game.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, now please tell me, what is the connection between Harry Enfield's popular Loads of Money character, Harry Enfield's popular Stavros Kebab Ross character, and a chicken?
The connection or the odd one out?
No, the connection between all three. It's like the goodies round. Except that this is the end game. This is for the star prize.
The common connection is that Harry Enfield probably eats chicken.
Would you like a clue? Once I give you the clue, you've got 5 seconds after the clue's run out to guess what it is.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, are you ready for your clue, Ken?
Yeah.
Yum yum, I feel like chicken tonight.
Harry Enfield likes to eat chicken.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Ken. The answer is, they all probably eat chickens, even the chicken which is probably a cannibal chicken. Well, thank you very much for playing, Ken. I'm afraid you've not won any money.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mothers, here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mothers.
So, aside from the last days of Daniels, not saying he's died or anything.
No, he's not died, but his show was cancelled in the mid-90s, and, it was all sort of downhill from there, wasn't it?
Well, that's what I mean. He's been in the wilderness all this time.
The wilderness years. So many of our glorious celebrities end up with the wilderness years.
Yeah, and then they end up either interviewed by Louis Theroux or by his production company.
Well, yeah, either that or they go on reality TV on Channel 5 and milk various teats.
Yeah, that's another option as well. He ended up on The Farm. I think that's what you're referencing, isn't it?
The Farm. I didn't see that, though.
No, I don't think anyone did.
I mean, I think we've alluded to the fact that the only famous thing from The Farm is somebody wanking off a pig. So that's neither here nor there. But like you say, he was the subject of a Louis Theroux documentary where they discovered he was as quirky as everybody thought he would be.
Yeah, he was foul-tempered, but he was a decent little chap, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, so many old men are foul-tempered. I fully expect to be a foul-tempered old man. Old man? I'm not going to duplicate.
But you're already foul-tempered.
No, I'm not!
Well, even the way you responded to that was foul-tempered.
Oh, I suppose it was, yeah. Well, anyway, I'll be even more foul-tempered. I'm hoping I'll be in a wheelchair as well, which will just add to the look.
Well, how many people hope to be in a wheelchair?
Yeah, but it'd be like a fashion wheelchair.
What, colour? Are you going to have it multicoloured or something?
No, just a normal normal wheelchair, but I'll look suitably hip.
You won't look hip in a wheelchair.
So will I look with it.
Right, so apart from your plans for the future, the wilderness years, they involved a Louis Theroux documentary and lots of trading on eBay.
Wife Swap, don't forget that. It was on Wife Swap with Vanessa Feltz. That was quite good. He came across better than she did, I thought.
Well, he was always going to, really, wasn't he?
Hey?
He was always going to. Vanessa Feltz is one of the least tolerable people on TV.
Yeah, I don't like her, to be honest with you.
Does anyone?
Well, I'm sure there must... I bet you any money there's a Vanessa Feltz fan club out there. I mean, to my horror, I discovered there's still an active Gary Glitter fan club.
Good Lord.
Yeah, you go on the internet. Not that I was... Well, I was looking for Gary Glitter. I was looking for a picture of Gary Glitter so that I could manipulate it and then say something hilarious about him, obviously, because I've got nothing better to do in my time. But yeah, I came across the Gary Glitter fan club. And as recently, I think, as 2007, he'd released a new album and a live album.
Good Lord. Well, some people just don't know when to give up, do they?
They don't really. You know, I mean, I think this is a hardcore of fans who really liked him in the 1970s, and regardless of the things he's done and the prison sentences, have thought, well, I've weighed it all up in my mind, but quite frankly, he's still the king of glam, as far as I'm concerned, so fuck it, I'm buying his album.
Well, he doesn't release albums anymore, does he? Just photo albums.
Photo albums? Oh, I see. Yeah, I get you.
Shouldn't linger on that. That was
a bad joke.
I'm a bit
behind the times because I've got a cold. Did I say I had a cold?
Yeah, and we all feel massive amounts of sympathy for you.
Yeah, it's to the bone, mate. It's to the bone.
So, Wife Swap, we've covered. Louis Through, we've covered.
The only thing really left to say about Paul Daniels is his online activity.
Yeah, he's always buying kinky boots on eBay for his wife, the lovely Debbie Daniels.
Well, I saw on eBay he recently bought an executive ball scratcher.
Executive?
Yeah, it says on the front of the ball scratcher, for the busy male executive. That's not really Paul Daniels, is it?
Well, no, he's not a busy executive. He's a retired sorcerer.
I mean, what do you think of when you think of a busy male executive?
I think of a Wall Street yuppie.
Gordon Gekko, lunches for wimps.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm too busy to eat my dinner. I'm busy. I'm a businessman. Get out of my way.
Wilmot Brown sort of character.
Gordon Brown?
Wilmot.
Wilmot Brown, yeah, exactly. Get out of my way. I'm busy running a wine bar in the 1980s. Get out of my way.
Precisely. So, yeah, why is he buying executive testicle scratchers?
Well, maybe he's got very itchy bollocks.
Maybe they're so big he needs assistance.
I've also realised that Paul, I didn't know this, but Paul has a hitherto unpublicised interest in airbrushing.
Has he really?
He has indeed. So far, Paul has sold not one, but two airbrushing books on eBay. He sold the Complete Guide to Airbrushing and the Advanced Airbrush Book.
Well, good on Paul. I wonder what it is he needs to airbrush.
Well, I don't know. But to me, if you've got one airbrush book, that says to me, Christmas present, maybe you're around at your dad's house. What was his name? Handel?
Yeah.
You're around at Handel's houses. What you been up to recently then, Paul? Newton? Well, you know what, Father? I've dabbled in airbrushing. Next thing you know, he's got himself an airbrush book for Christmas, put it in the attic, etc. But two, to me, that is a hobby.
Well, that's bordering on obsession.
What, having two books on airbrushing?
Hairbrushes or airbrushing?
Airbrushing. Do you know, like in the 80s, when all the cool kids had pictures of tigers on the backs of their leather jackets?
Yeah, I do recall, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if you were cool... Yeah, you had a tiger on the back of your jacket. That sort of airbrushing. Or those really brilliant pictures of Ferraris with women with big hair, like Maria Whittaker, stretched across the Ferrari. They were all done in airbrush. Maybe that's what he wanted to do.
Maybe.
So he's probably sat at home airbrushing pictures of Ferraris.
I think he's more likely to be airbrushing pictures of the lovely Debbie McGee.
Or the lovely Maria Whittaker.
Probably.
Either that or Roger Whittaker in the nude.
Is that what he does with his days these days, then?
What, looks at pictures of Roger Whittaker in the nude?
Well, yeah, that and... well, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's essentially... He's gone from Will Tappers and Shunters Social Club, Opportunity Knox, Debbie McGee, Paul Daniels Magic Show, Odd One Out, Every Second Counts, Whizbit, and now he's sadly reduced... So airbrushing pictures of Roger Whittaker on the internet. How the mighty have fallen.
If you look into my hands, you'll see a pack of cards. Please pick a card, it's not very hard. Now show it to the crowd that's assembled here. Don't let me see it, that would be queer. Please place the card back in the deck. If you let me see your card, I'll break your neck. Now is that your card? Have I hit the spot? Yes, that's my card. Do you like it? Not a lot.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us on that musical.
I got a black magic woman. I got a black magic woman.
Yeah, that was good.
You see what I did there?
Seamless.
So, followers of that are probably thinking, hello, the prize is in sight. Oh, no, there wasn't a prize.
So, thank you for joining us, listeners, on that rocky tour of Paul Daniels' entire life and career.
That's everything covered, isn't it? We've done a lot.
We've done everything. Looking back over the past 3 weeks, we've basically done the BBC's job for them.
We have, yeah. When, say, the BBC was going to write a book on its most popular performers, so you're talking Edmonds, obviously, Forsyth, yeah. Daniels, Savile, Davidson, they don't need to anymore because we've done it.
Well, yeah, we've done it for free as well. We're idiots.
Shit, I didn't think of that, actually. That's a, yeah. Well, if anybody from the BBC's listening, you can't have this.
No, we've done your research for you, but if you want to get your hands on the Savile stuff, then come to us first.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay good money for Savile. That will, of course, be coming in the future. We shall be returning next week to normal TV, as opposed to focusing entirely on one venerated celebrity.
Yeah, any ideas on what we should do next week?
I think we should talk about dirty TV.
What, rude TV?
Rude TV, dirty TV. I'm talking red triangles. In fact, I think that we should flash up a warning whilst people are listening to next week's podcast that is just a red triangle. How would we do that?
We can't do that because it's all audio. But are you suggesting that I watch television programmes with boobies in?
Yeah, I'm talking boobies, I'm talking backsides, I don't want to delve too deeply into it. I mean, we are still talking about Paul Daniels here. But I would say that we should go into the seedier side of television next time.
Okay, I think that's a good idea, actually. But that will mean I'll have to stay up beyond 9 o'clock.
Watching dirty sex fantasies on Channel 4.
Well, yeah, do they still have that on Channel 4?
No, they moved it all to 5.
Right, well, we'll watch Channel 5. I think there's some on Bravo as well.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
It's actually going to be a sex extravaganza.
It is. We're doing sex. You and me, my boy, we're doing sex.
We're going to do some hardcore loving.
Me and you, we're going to do some sex. So I suppose that's it.
Yeah, before we go, not like that. We're not doing sex like that.
We're going to do some sex.
No, not like that.
Bye.
Bye then.